Reedley Planning Commission meeting, held April 3, 2009, at 5 p.m., in the Reedley City Council Chambers.
Call this meeting to order. Could we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Clemens?
Here.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Here.
Commissioner Chavez? Commissioner Barker?
Here.
Chairman Nord?
Here. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Have you seated?
Okay, we have a section for public comment. If you'd like to comment on any issue that's relevant to this commission that is not on the agenda, now is your time to do so. Don't all speak at once here, Wayne. Okay, hearing none, we'll move forward then to the consent agenda. Commissioners, we've got, four items there. We'll probably want to take them individually. The meeting of April 3, 2008. Any corrections or additions? Not, I'd entertain a motion for approval.
I'll move for approval.
John, second there?
I'll second that.
Al's got the second. Any further discussion? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And the meeting of June 5, 2008. Any corrections or additions to that one?
Something I saw on one person. I can't remember what it was now.
Do you think they missed a comma somewhere, John?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
I move for approval.
You got a motion for approval?
I'll second.
Got a second. Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And the meeting of March 5, 2009. Any corrections or additions? You'd entertain a motion, please.
I'll move to approve it.
And I'll second that.
Second. Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
I'll abstain on that one.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And then the building report, month of February 2009. David, anything special on there that jumps out at you when you look at it? Didn't jump out at me, but you know a lot more about this than I do.
I haven't looked too specifically at the month-to-month, but just today I did look at annual from 2005 to present and noticed that if you average out new home permits, it's about 125 a year with a peak at about 190 and a low of 60. And our projection right now is probably going to be about anywhere from 40 to 70. So we're not that far off, despite the perception that everything's come to a screeching halt. Doesn't seem to be that way in Reedley. It's almost character-like for Reedley that it's not too far off.
Yeah.
I think that's a good sign.
Interesting.
A little more stable.
We're the more level-headed of the world over here, we'd like to think, right?
We tell ourselves that.
Okay. I'd call for a motion for approval on that.
I'll move for approval.
I'll second.
Get a second. Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Clemens?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. And now we have a public hearing in relation to an alcoholic beverage sales license. Two steps here, public conveyance or necessity findings and conditional use permit. We've got a report, I'm sure, from staff, and then we'll have a public hearing on this issue.
Chairman Nord, Commissioners, this item is two applications, public convenience necessity findings application number 2008-1 and conditional use permit number 452. And the applicant is Farid Odeh Safi, and he's doing business as Carniceria La Michoacan at 1339 East Manning Avenue, which is an existing grocery market. And the general plan designation is community commercial. The zoning is central and community commercial. surrounding the site, the general plan designation is also community commercial with the zoning of central and community commercial. And there are existing retail commercial, office commercial, and mini storage uses around the site. Again, there are two separate applications before you today. The Planning Commission's role on both of these applications is advisory. So you'll be making a recommendation to the City Council as to whether or not you think they should approve or deny both of these applications. And we'll ask you to take action on them separately with the public convenience necessity findings application first, as your recommendation on that will dictate your recommendation on the use permit. The first one we'll talk about is the public convenience necessity application, and that's to accommodate issuance of a Type 20 off-sale beer and wine license at the project site. And there are two different criteria or triggers that cause ABC to say that public convenience necessity findings are necessary from the local jurisdiction before they will issue an alcohol license. And the first is an over-concentration of similar license types in the census tract of the project site. This project is in Census Tract 6601, which spans from, it's primarily the licenses that exist around Manning Avenue. That census tract permits 10 alcohol licenses, 9 exist today. I do have a list of all those licenses, and we can go through those a little later so you know exactly what we're referring to. That's the first criteria. If there are too many in that census tract, then they will not issue another alcohol license unless the local jurisdiction makes findings of public convenience or necessity. The second is an over-concentration of specifically Type 20 licenses, which is off-sale for beer and wine within Fresno County. And that's due to Assembly Bill 463 that was passed in 1995, where certain counties in California were deemed to have an over-concentration of Type 20 licenses as a whole, and they would not issue any new licenses unless the local jurisdiction made findings of public convenience necessity and said that it was okay to issue a new license, a new Type 20 license at that location. The criteria that's met for this application is the criteria that it's in Fresno County requesting a Type 20 license. There's 9 existing licenses in the census tract, 10 are permitted. If this license were to be approved, then it would be the 10th license in the census tract. There's not an over-concentration in census tract 6601. There's an over-concentration in Fresno County as a whole. The next application that you'll take action on is the conditional use permit. And prior to the City Council adopting ordinance number 2008-8, and that just occurred in January of this year, off-sale alcohol licenses were by right use. We did not require a conditional use permit if you were looking to get an off-sale license, either a Type 20 or Type 21, if you were in the correct zoning district. Central and Community Commercial Zone District, if you were a market that wanted to sell beer or wine, provided there were no issues with over-concentration, you would be able to get a license directly from ABC. At council direction, staff prepared an ordinance amendment that said that put local control for alcohol licenses requiring a conditional use permit. That conditional use permit process allows staff, the commission and council to establish conditions of approval specific to that application in that location, store, whatever operation it is, that we think are necessary to ensure public health and safety if a license is to be issued. So you have those two applications before you today. A little bit of background on the public convenience necessity findings request. Prior to the adoption of ordinance number 2008-8, which requires a conditional use permit now for off-sale licenses, there were 4 applications for public convenience necessity findings, or this is the 4th application for public convenience necessity findings at 1339 East Manning Avenue. The previous 3 applications were denied by the City Council. And they were denied because they cannot find that it met the public need or convenience or need. Again, those determinations were prior to adoption of the ordinance that requires a conditional use permit that allows local control. This request is before you now for your recommendation, and we'll go to the City Council with your recommendation parallel to the use permit application. The use permit application itself, as we've put into the attached resolution, contains what we believe are conditions of approval that will serve public health and safety. And they address very specifically the hours of operation, signage, and certain standards for performance if an alcohol license is issued to 1339 East Manning Avenue. And staff's opinion is that with the conditions of approval contained in the conditional use permit, that we can make findings of public convenience or necessity for 1339 East Manning Avenue. And that is staff's recommendation. And the resolution's attached, 2008-1, is a recommendation that you recommend public convenience necessity findings be made. And resolution 2009-2 is that you recommend conditional use permit number 452 be approved. The project is exempt from CEQA under the existing facilities exemption. And that concludes my report, and I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you, David. I think we probably have a couple questions, but we'll go to a public hearing on this before we pose those to you. We'd like to open it right now for public comment, either for or against this this request, either or both items. So if you have comments on that, please come to the microphone, give your name and address for the record, and let us know what you're thinking.
My name is Farid Safiya. The address for 1339 East Manning in Kansai, Michoacana.
You're the man.
Thank you, sir. She wants to talk.
Well, he has very kindly asked me to speak. My name is Diana Guerra Silva. I live at 221 6th Street, Orange Cove, California. And I have known Fred for quite a long time now. And I have known him to be an upstanding member of the community, law-abiding. He's always followed the direction of any policies. Readley has, entertained. He has served his community for a long time in this type of business. And I would like to read for him the letter. Okay, members of the City Planning Commission, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to speak here today, so that I may present my case. My name is Farid Safiya. I own and operate the Carniceria La Michoacana. My business is located at 1339 East Manning Avenue. My business has been serving the community for approximately 4 years. During that time, I applied for an alcoholic beverage sales license on 3 different occasions. Unfortunately, the City Planning Commission denied my request due to the new city ordinance not being in effect at that time, 2008-8. The recent approval of the new ordinance, along with approval of the City Planning Commission today, would allow me to obtain an alcoholic beverage license for my business today. I am here today to ask the City Planning Commission please approve my request for an alcoholic beverage sales license so that I may more conveniently serve my loyal customers and the general public. If I am granted the alcoholic beverage sales license, my employees and I will strictly abide to all the rules, regulations, prerequisites, and guidelines set forth in Ordinance Number 2008-8. My store is well known for its being family-oriented, law-abiding, honest, clean, well-kept, and opened at convenient hours to serve the public. I hope that all these things will allow you to vote in favor of granting me to allow me to sell type 20,
yes,
alcoholic license, an alcoholic beverage sales license. In closing, I would like to thank the members of the City Planning Commission for allowing me this opportunity to present my case. I hope you vote to allow me to receive an alcoholic beverage sales license so that I could better serve you and our great community. Thank you. I also would like to add, and this is my part, not his part, that every time I have come into his store, the store is very well maintained. It is family oriented. I've never seen minors, you know, carry out cases of beer. Most of them are hardworking people, you know, that come by, like myself, to buy the carne, the meat, the products that are there, the produce, to make the salsa, what have you. And, you know, a little celebration with a little bit of alcohol. Yes. And this helps in... I live in Orange Cove, but I do come and make business in Wrigley. You know, sometimes we're passing by, going through, and I said, you know what, this is one of my favorite stores. I got to stop here. I got to see Fred, you know, and see how everybody else is going. And I can truly say that when I have been there, you know, it is a very friendly atmosphere. It's very open. To me, it epitomizes, you know, the somewhat so-called mom-and-pop stores. So I know what those are. My dad owned a business for many years in Orange Cove. And I would tell you, because of the experience that I had for that for more than 20 years, my dad owning a business, that when people came, my dad's store was open until 11 o'clock at night. And that when people came, it was like a one-stop store because he had the gasoline. Well, we didn't have carniceria then, but we had the sandwiches, the hot sandwiches, the Frito boats, what have you, and the beverages, including the alcohol along with it. So in this sense, putting into perspective in the economic times that we're in, I don't want to spend more gas than what I need to, you know? And if I can, being an Orange Cove person, come and put some of my money, you know, in the pockets, in his pockets, which in turn, you know, go to you, I mean, that helps everybody a whole lot. Myself, him and his family, and I think the whole community. And he's got a wonderful, wonderful store. And I'm really appreciative of that.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time, sirs.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else like to speak for or against here? Okay, last chance. Anyone want to speak for or against? Sure, step right up.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maria Guerra. I live at 196 8th Street in Orange Cove, California. I'm a preschool teacher with four children at home. At one point, maybe about 7-8 years ago, I was living in the city of Wrigley myself, about four houses down from Mr. Sophia and his family, wonderful people. That's when I got the opportunity to meet them, and it was quite a privilege. And we became pretty much like family. You know, they're very open-hearted, and they're wonderful business people. Wonderful merchants. I'm in Orange Cove now, but I come down to Wrigley quite a bit when I come and cash my check, and I buy some meat, you know, so my son could barbecue. And likewise, I'm not a drinker, but he does some beer for him while he's barbecuing and all that. And as was mentioned earlier, I've never seen like minors, you know, running out with some beer or anything. It's a very well-managed business. And a lot of very clean also, like I said. And like I said, I buy my meat and then whatever alcoholic beverages I need. I am in Orange Cove. I do run over here to do that. You know, it's very pleasant to see them, you know, a family-oriented business run by Mr. Sophia and his family, you know. And I think it would be great if they'd be able to have the opportunity to receive that license. You know, for many people that I think they are very well-loved, like Ms. Silva mentioned just a moment ago, it's like a mom and dad store. And likewise, well, that happens to be my sister. And I managed my dad's business in Orange Cove for about 18 years. So I know what that's about. And this is also a family business, you know, and they're trying to get up ahead and better serve the community. you know, rather than running elsewhere. Well, you, if you could take it all there, why not, you know? So thank you, sirs, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Speaking.
Do you have something new?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, why don't you tell them who you are?
Well, I am a school teacher. Diana Guerra Silva, I am a school teacher at Rosie High School, and I've been teaching school for 27 years. And God has given me that grace. And I'm also served on the city council in Orange Cove for over 16 years, and I was also the mayor pro tem. And I'm very pleased that, you know, when the mayor always speaks about Reedley, he always says, "Well, I do my business in Reedley." I go, "Well, so do I." You know, and you know, that should make you people very happy. You know, so anyway, what I want to say is one last thing, because, you know, speaking about our economy, I really believe that the hardworking people of Reedley, of Orange Cove, the Central Valley, just so up and down California, it's been the mom and pop stores that have kept California going. It's not these big businesses. I mean, Gottschalk's is closing. I go, if Gottschalk's closes, you know what? The mom and pop stores are still going to be open, and praise God for them. You know, and I give all the mom and pop stores a great big hand, because they are the backbone of this community, and they are the backbone of this whole country. And I really want to thank them. Thank you, Fred.
I can see the politician coming out there just... Okay, anyone else for or against? Okay, if not, we'll close the public session and turn to commissioners for questions or comments, questions of the staff of...
I had a question, Chairman Nord. On page 2 of 3 on resolution 2009-2, I think there's needs to be a correction under number 1. Nowhere in there is Saturday mentioned for sales. Is that correct? We've got hours of operation of the store will be Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10, and Sunday, 7 to 10. Are we closed on Saturday? We're open on Saturday. Well, then we need to...
What are your hours of operation for Saturday? Are they the same as Friday or Sunday?
8 to 10, okay.
The reason I open 7 in the morning because I'm early by the meat.
Oh, barbecue.
Yeah, because you need to go to swap
meat. Oh. Okay. So we need a correction there to say Monday through Saturday.
It's easy enough to do, isn't it? Change that sign. Okay, commissioners, any questions of staff or of the applicant or comments in relation to this?
My question would be of staff, is there a current permit at all to sell alcoholic beverages at this location?
They're currently not licensed to sell alcoholic beverages.
Because a couple of the speakers mentioned they hadn't seen any teenagers carrying out cases of beer. And I was wondering if they saw other people carrying out cases of beer.
You could ask them for clarification. They may be referring to a previous license that existed approximately 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe you could clarify that for us. Did you hold a license some time ago, and then what happened there? Tell us about it.
Can you guys repeat the question?
Sure. Why don't you step over here, if you would, please, both of you? That's fine. Sure. We're just trying to clarify what might have taken place here.
My name is Aya Sophia. I live at 412 East Parlier. I'm Farid's daughter. I'll be translating in Arabian for him your guys' questions.
Okay. We were just questioning the sales of alcohol. Did you previously have a license that allowed you to sell alcohol?
Yes, before
I have the license.
Okay, just tell us a little bit of the circumstances of that. Well, did it end at one point?
Okay.
I lose the license because I make mistake in the application. This is what, and I lose it.
And that was in what year about? What
did that? In 1999.
In 1999?
Yes.
So previous to 1999, you did have a license to sell?
Yes.
Okay. And may we ask what that mistake was?
The mistake, what's
his name? The mistake was they asked him if he has ever gone to county jail. And that's not really true. All that really happened, there was a situation when people, all he really did was did a fingerprint. He thought the thing was dismissed. So that's the reason why he, when they asked, did you ever go to jail, he said no, because he has never gone to jail.
The reason I not speak very well English and the
For a felony.
The guy, he fallen for me, the paper, okay? For he not asked me this question, he say no.
He's trying to say that somebody did his papers for him. They didn't ask him. Because he doesn't know that much English to read and stuff. So when the guy read the applications, he just put no because he doesn't know my dad's situation. So that's kind of the misunderstanding that happened with the applications.
Okay, and that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Was there a piece of time over which he could not reapply? Or what's bringing the reapplication at this point?
I have another license in Danuba. I have another store in Danuba Market under my name, the license Bureau Wine.
Okay.
If you need, I bring you proof to show you.
I'll believe you.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And this is the problem. What I tell you, this is almost 19 years.
The problem for the application was before 10 years, but the problem with the fingerprints was over 19 years. It's almost 19 years ago.
And the problem in here in Ridley. The police, they catch me because I don't have
a chair.
And he asked me, you have chair. I told him, I don't speak English. That's why he bring me in the police in here. And he put me
fingerprints.
This is what?
That was the situation with him.
Yeah. I'm sure they check you out quite well when they give you that license anyway, don't they? I hope they do anyway. Al, do you have a question?
How long have you been in this?
I was born, my dad has lived his whole entire life here. I was born and raised here, so was my brother, so was my other brother. I have four brothers and a sister.
Oh, but I mean, how long have you owned the business at 1339?
Almost,
Bosnian,
no, 1999, I sell it, and I return it back.
And you, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's been open for a while.
He sold it for 2 years.
Oh,
and
over
2 years. And they sold it back to him.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant there, folks? Not that we think of. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Since we got our police chief here, I'll ask a question of him. In the area, I don't know how crime relates to alcoholic sales directly, but do we have any kind of ongoing problem, or what do you see from your angle on this kind of thing?
That particular area of town is probably has our highest concentration of calls for service of anywhere else in town. Between Manning Avenue and Dinuba Avenue and east of East Avenue is our highest call volume. In that particular neighborhood, the Meadowbrook Apartments and the few blocks to the south and east of that is probably the highest concentration of call volume in the area that I just described is probably the highest call volume that we have. How many of those are related to alcohol? I couldn't answer that question. I mean, we've had three homicides within a one block area from that store in the last 3 months, and mostly gang related. I don't know that alcohol has any contributing factor to those crimes, but it is a high volume area, and it is a safe routes to school area because Grant School is right across from the Camacho Park. So you know, we do try to keep that area as safe as we can under the circumstances. So
okay, all right, thank you.
If I could
could ask the chief, is there, or maybe one of the commissioners, is there a bus drop-off area close by there?
At Meadowbrook Apartments, almost all of those children are currently being bused to Alta School, so there's upwards of 180 students bused out of there daily. On the Meadowbrook side, on the Haney side.
Okay, thank you, sir. Let's wait just a minute. We'll give you another shot in a minute. The difference, I guess, David, you spoke to was the city council previously has rejected or not granted approval. The difference being that we have this new ordinance in place that allows us to put some conditions on it, and I'm assuming before the city was not able to put conditions on it, or at least to this level.
Correct. What would be in place were standard State of California alcoholic beverage control requirements. Those are enforceable by ABC. If there's a local problem, we would inform ABC that we have a problem and we'd like them to address it. This can restate all of the same regulations that ABC has so that we can enforce them locally. And it could also add additional requirements that we see fit that can be enforced by our code enforcement department, our police department, or can be brought to the attention of planning staff. And if there's any violation of the state of the conditions that are applied, you could initiate a revocation hearing and revoke the use permit, or apply conditions that you see, additional conditions that you see necessary for the activity to be conducted without being a detriment to the neighborhood.
When in 2008 was this new ordinance passed?
It became effective in 2009. It was approved January 13th, 2009.
Okay, so we haven't been in effect very long, because my next question was going to be to the chief to see whether this new ordinance, in fact, was useful. And but we haven't had much time to look at it, but maybe you could still speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've actually had an opportunity to look at the value of this type of conditional use permit in other on-sale premises. We've, and not that I'm necessarily proud of closing down businesses, but we did have two on-sale premises here in town that did get very much out of control, and we were able to use, outside of ABC regulations, we were able to use the conditional use permit to either give them kind of an ultimatum to either come into compliance or we'll shut you down tomorrow. Problem with ABC is ABC will never act immediately. If our experience and in my discussions with Christine Weldon with ABC is that their process takes a very long time. If I have an establishment that's not complying with ABC regulations, all I can do is either issue a citation, write a report, send it to ABC, and ABC may take up to 2 years to take appropriate action on that establishment. And the entire time that they're doing that, they can still stay open for business. And so it creates just a continuous problem for the police department if we have to wait that long to have some kind of administrative action taken against an establishment who we feel is, you know, violating the law or the rules. So, and the part of the problem with the denial, and I think in a lot of this, Mr. Berletic and I talked at length about establishing a conditional use process for the off-sale premises. And because, you know, I have a very firm perspective on alcohol consumption and alcohol use anyway. I mean, just as part of what I do, I see the effects of it every day, you know, in my day-to-day work life. And I see the devastation that overconsumption causes a lot of people. More death is caused by, you know, drunk drivers in the country every year than by firearms. But yet we regulate firearms a lot more than we do alcohol. Getting back to the point, the other applications that were denied without the conditional use permit were primarily because of the overconcentration issue. There was always 10 in that census tract, and there's also the moratorium, a four-county moratorium on new Type 20 licenses in Madera, Fresno, Kings, and Tulare County. That's part of that assembly bill that's out that Mr. Berletic talked about. So ABC is even saying that in that four-county area, there's an over-concentration of new Type 20 licenses. So I've either sent a protest letter based on that over-concentration by ABC or the over-concentration by the Census Tract 6601 in the city of Reedley. When Rite Aid moved from its old location to its new location, that they're now in a different census tract. So that made the concentration level in the city of Reedley drop below the 10, and now there's only 9. With the addition of the conditional use permit, I think that adds a valuable tool for the police department to be able to keep control local and to deal more one-on-one with alcohol licensees. And Mr. Safi and I have spoken several times, so he knows, you know, what my perspective is on that. And this is one of the things that I wanted to see in place before I would be agreeable to allowing any more Type 20s in the city of Reedley, because I just have kind of a blanket protest on all of them. So, but this allows me the ability to understand the philosophy of the city and economic development, needing, you know, to promote that, and I think it allows me to help balance the scale of public safety, economic development. So.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Commissioners, any other comments, questions?
I guess the only one of the things I thought is I kind of balance, like Steve was, this issue is that this would be a convenience, being that there's probably a lot of population in that section of town that has no means to maybe drive to get product, and my thought was they would probably walk to the store, and I'd rather see them walking to the store than driving to the store to buy alcoholic beverages and driving home and be more apt to drink it while they're driving, as opposed to walking down the street and drinking it, which is, you're going to stop them for that probably too. Exactly. So I'd feel more comfortable having the neighborhood store where they're going to walk from the apartments or the neighborhood when they go get their munchies or whatever, as opposed to getting in somebody's car, borrowing a car to go some place outside the neighborhood where they might be apt to drive. So that's my weighing thought.
David. Tell us a little bit about the other sites within that census tract that are...
They're all on Manning Avenue. I'll just read them off to you. It's Town and Country Market. First, let me break it down into two different categories. They're all off-sale licenses, meaning you walk in, buy it, and you walk out for off-site consumption. 5 of the existing licenses are Type 20, which is beer and wine, and 4 of the existing licenses are Type 21, which is beer, wine, and distilled spirits. There's Town and Country Market, Save Mart, One Stop Market, Jay's Market, Vince's Liquor and Deli, California Market, Long's Drugs, Valero, and Reedley Wines and Liquor. So this census tract, I don't know the entire geography, but it's covering those alcohol licenses that are in the Manning Avenue corridor, excluding the boundary to the new census tract, which has the new Rite Aid east of Dinuba Avenue, or Buttonwillow Avenue.
So essentially, Chairman Ordy, he covered everything from Reed Avenue to Buttonwillow on both sides of the street.
Okay. Further questions, commissioners?
Does me and Ed sell beer?
This list that I gave you is for off-sale licenses. There would be another list of on-sale licenses which can only sell for on-site consumption, which are your restaurants that sell beer and wine with a meal, and then the others that would sell beer, wine, and distilled spirits, but those can only sell, certain types can only sell for on-site consumption.
Okay, am I correct that whatever decision this commission makes is appealable to the council, or does it automatically go to the council?
It's automatically going to the council. Your role for both of these applications is advisory. The resolutions are your recommendations on the public convenience necessity findings and the conditional use permit.
Okay, so it's going
to either
case.
On those separately.
Yeah. Okay, Commissioner, any further questions, comments? Somebody ready for a...
Well, I just wanted to say that I understand his point of view of, you know, having the market, and there's a lot of markets that do sell, off sale, along with all their other products, and I don't think that his market would hurt anybody else or anybody, you know, by selling beer and wine. I know there's, Lieutenant Wright said, the chief. Apartments there and stuff, the chief, I mean, sorry, correction. But they can come from anywhere in town or other towns and buy and purchase, you know. So I don't think that that would hurt his business any or hurt anybody else any.
I do like the idea that they might walk. That's the only idea I like. Mm-hmm.
That's the thought I thought this morning.
You know, it's an unfortunate... My father ran a small country market for many years and never sold beer and wine or alcohol of any kind because he has seen the disaster that alcoholic beverages lead to. So you can see where my heart is. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I understand business and to some degree, it puts you at a disadvantage. One of the questions, and I realize it's a hypothetical, but let's say the old Rite Aid building that is now vacant. Let's say that a new store wants to go in there that would traditionally, with their type of business, sell alcohol. Obviously, that would put that area over the 10, and in fact may make that, you know, sometimes that can make the difference between do they come or do they not. So I think decisions like this, while you can't base it solely on that or at all on that, but it does play into the mix. It does play into the mix sometimes. I like the idea of mom-and-pop markets. I think you're right. The mom-and-pop markets and other kinds of stores certainly are a great, strong part of America, and I wish it were even stronger. I like the idea that we do have the conditional use permit in place. I'm glad to hear that it is much more effective in enforcing. Do we sting is a tough word to use, but do we check frequently on our off-sale facilities to see that they're...
We do at least three operations a year. And they focus in different areas. One of them will always be to do decoy operations, where we send in a person who looks like they're or underage, but maybe looks like they're over 21, to see if the clerk or whoever's working in the store will sell to them. We also do another operation that sees if customers of the store will go in and buy for somebody underage from the outside. And if there's somebody who's regularly patronizing that store, we'll plant a decoy out there, and as they come to the store, they'll ask them to buy alcohol for them. That's another way we do decoys. And then the other thing we do is to do inspections to make sure signage, video cameras, anything that they've got on site for their own security and under ABC regulations is operational. And we usually do that three times a year.
Okay.
So. Yes.
What's our percentage of error? I mean, not error. Not a...
Failure.
It's a failure. Failure rate? Actually, the success rate for stores in this community is very, very high. Of those three operations, and there's probably, I know, Dave, there's what, 42 total alcoholic beverage licensees in the city, which is a very high number. And of those, in any given operation, there's only one, usually a year, that will either sell to either somebody under 21 or isn't in compliance. So we have a very high success rate of...
What's the consequences for the company that does that?
Usually a 15-day suspension of the license is on the first offense, and a fine to whoever the clerk is that sold the alcohol.
15 days, it ought to be 150.
Well, and one of the things that ABC does, and this is a little frustrating, is that ABC will always allow the store owner or the licensee to pay a fine in lieu of the suspension. So if it's a 15-day suspension, instead of being suspended, they'll say, okay, you got to pay a $3,000 fine. Now, that would be great if some of the money came to us who was doing the operation, but it all goes to the state. So they don't lose any time of selling alcohol, even though they do have administrative penalties.
Chairman Nord, you may want to suggest that any violation be reported to the Planning Commission for review of the use permit if you think that a more harsh penalty should apply, and that could be conducted through the conditional use permit. If you don't think a 15-day suspension is punishment enough for doing something that you assume is not going to happen through issuance of this use permit, you can ask that any violation be reported causes a review by the Planning Commission of the use permit. And that can come before you for your review, and you could take action accordingly.
Well, my gut feeling on that would be that anybody can make a mistake, so I don't know that I'd want to do that on the first one. But if there were a second one within some kind of fixed period of time, that might be a reasonable thing to put in place. How would you folks feel with something like that? We got brother here now, or son, I should say.
I'm Farid Sophia's son. In all my years that I've helped out my dad, we never had any problems, and I don't see us ever getting problems because we also have Subway and we have the Mexican restaurant that we have right there, and a bunch of cops come to us. You know, and I don't think anybody would ever want to cause problems. And then we'd also be afraid to be selling beer to minors, because we also, like you guys said, you guys get operations, and then we get a bunch of cops also. So I don't think that we would be able to do anything wrong if we see that we have a bunch of cops around us. And then we also take care of our customers. We get little kids coming in all the time. We've never done anything bad to anybody. All we do is just help out people. So, you know.
Yeah. No. I'd like to hear that. I mean, that's worth hearing.
Yeah, and, you know, it's my history in this store 5 years. You can check my record if we sell minor or we have ticket with the ABC. If we scare the chief for this store, any rules he want it, we do it for him.
We've never had any problems around us.
How would you feel about some kind of conditional use here that would include a somewhat more stiff penalty if there were a second violation? Yeah, you say you're not going to have the first, but I understand, you know, you can slip. But if there were a second violation, let's say within a 5-year period, 3-year period, or something like that, would you have a problem with that?
We're willing to do whatever it takes to get our license.
You're a good politician, too, I guess. You didn't answer the question, though.
Thank you. We're just willing to do whatever it is that you guys want from us.
My name is Osama Sophia.
Pardon me?
Osama Sophia.
Okay, thank you.
My question would be, if we were to put a condition upon this permit, would this condition apply to other licensees in town, or would it just start from
this point
each
forward,
individual case as it comes before us?
It's for each individual case. This resolution is specific to this application for this location for this license.
The other thing I think of is here is obviously we're advisory to the city council, and if the city council sees that as too light, too heavy, they can certainly alter that. But in hearing what usually happens, in effect, they keep selling, pay off the fine, whatever it happens to be, and continue with life. I think it might be reasonable to say a second offense within a three-year period would call for a suspension of the license for, I would say, minimum 90 days, 3 months. How would you?
I'd entertain that. I'd be good with that. You got to start somewhere.
I'd agree with that because once, I don't know, they don't mean to, anybody that does that doesn't probably mean to, or if they make a mistake by selling to minors, or but if they do, you know, they learn by the first mistake, and if they go to the second mistake, it's going to really hurt them, you know, and I think it would be fair to do that. They abide by the laws, and nothing will be, nobody will be hurt, you know.
Yeah. And if, as Chief Wright speaks of, that there's pretty low, pretty high compliance with this law, then there shouldn't be any problem really with anybody that sits within that rule. I'd suggest then perhaps before considering passage, we look at that that conditional use permit and add some wording to that effect that a second offense of selling to minors or violation of, I don't know if it's just selling to minors, if that's broad enough, within a three-year period from the first offense. In other words, the timeline starts from the first offense.
It would be an ABC offense, any ABC offense.
Any ABC offense.
Would that work? Let's ask him.
What would probably have to happen is the, and Dave can correct me if I'm wrong, but the violation would be a violation of the conditional use permit, and we would enforce it as a city code violation, which would affect their business license. We don't have any control, and that's why ABC has full control over the alcohol sales license. So the impact would have to be on their business license, correct, Dave?
My suggestion was that you review any violation and seriously consider revocation of the use permit or some other condition that you think is necessary to correct the problem. I don't know how you could write in a specific penalty into the resolution that would be enforceable locally. Chief Wright is correct that you're starting to look at impacting the entire business and business license. If you'd like us to explore some language related to review of the use permit, I think that may be enough of a deterrent that it's very clear that it comes back for a year review if they violate, if they have any ABC action against them.
Then that becomes the responsibility of the police department if there's a second offense, that they would refer that to you.
And we'll bring it back before you and you take action accordingly.
And then at that point we would have the option of revoking, in essence, the conditional use permit for X number of days, months, or years.
Right, and that is already built into the city code for review of violations of city ordinances with respect to conditional use permits and business licenses. Is that if we are enforcing a violation, it doesn't go to the court or ABC. It goes to this board, and you review it. City attorney can represent the city, and you review it, determine what sanctions you want to place on the business license or what changes you want to make to the conditional use permit.
So we would still add a step to the conditional use permit that it would be a second offense within a three-year period, any three-year period of any ABC laws would be therefore bring it back. The conditional use permit that would come back to the commission.
We can add that condition.
That agree with
folks? Yeah.
Okay.
Become number 9.
Yeah, that'd be number 9. I guess, David, you created number 9 there.
We'll add that, and that will be forwarded to the city council with your recommendation.
Okay, well, it sounds like we're getting close to something here. Any other questions or comments from commissioners?
Okay, so we have two action items we need to...
Two action items, resolution 209-1 and 2.
Yeah, I'll move for approval public advance and necessity findings application 2008-1.
I second that.
Okay, any further discussion?
Actually, it's resolution number 2009-1, for the record.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Clements?
Yes.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay, and then resolution 2009-2 in relation to conditional use permit with number 9, as we've spoken to, and the correction earlier from the Monday through Saturday hours.
With that being corrected, I move that we approve the resolution number 2009-2.
Okay, and I'll second it.
Second. Any further discussion? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Clements?
Yes.
Commissioner Barker?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. You know what my dad always said? I won't run a business where the best customer I have is the town drunk. And with that, we'll move on to something else. Therefore, he never sold beer or wine. And besides that, his sister shunned him when he even thought of it. No, I'm serious. I have the poster at home, you know, the one you have to put on your window? Uh-huh. But my dad applied. This is the little country store west of Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. And his sister, who raised him as a mother, and their brother died an alcoholic, said...
Had a good reason.
Yeah, so she basically shunned him long enough, which didn't take too long. He yanked the sign down and... put in the cupboard, and I have it to this day. And I support that. I support that. I think more lives have been ruined. Far more lives have been ruined than have been blessed. You will see that too. But anyway, let's move on. Enough of my politicking. Thank you for coming, though, folks. We do appreciate you being here. Okay, we're going to move on to new business, which is a minor revision to a conditional use permit for Sierra View Homes. A little less weighty issue here, maybe, I think. Staff, we have a report, and then we'll have an open
this is
public
hearing on that. The request is a minor revision to conditional use permit number 110 for Sierra View Homes, and it's to add an additional dining room to the existing skilled nursing facility at 1155 East Springfield Avenue. The general plan designation is high-density residential. The zoning is RM2P, which is multiple family residential planned. North and south of the site, the general plan designation is medium-density residential, and the zoning is single-family residential, and there are existing single-family homes in the area. And east and west, the general plan designation is high-density residential with RM2 zoning, and there are existing multiple-family dwellings, single-family dwellings, and vacant lots in the area. And again, the request is to add a new dining room to the existing facility. The proposed dining room is approximately 3,500 square feet and would seat 44 of the residents. Part of the project calls for removing the existing parking lot, which contains 19 parking stalls, but it'll be replaced with a new parking lot that'll have 21 parking stalls. So there's a net increase of 2 parking stalls. It's modifying the landscaping and the entrance a little bit. The Planning Commission can approve a minor revision to a conditional use permit without a public hearing, provided that you make the determination that the request, being minor, does not substantially change the character intensity of the use permit as it was previously approved by the city. And staff's determination is that the request for an additional dining room is indeed minor. The facility currently has a dining hall. What they're doing is providing 2 separate experiences for the different residences. different levels of service that they provide, and then like to provide a dining hall for one group of the residents that require assistance and another that may require more or less. And again, staff's recommendation is that you approve this minor revision request, subject to the findings and subject to the conditions in attached resolution 2009-3. And the project is characterized as an infill request and is exempt from CEQA review. And Vito Jenna, representing Sierra View Homes, is here today if you have any questions. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David. my understanding, we need a public hearing on this, too?
If your determination is that this is a minor revision to the use permit, you can approve it without a public hearing. If you believe that that this is not a minor revision to the use permit, you will need to direct staff to schedule and notice a public hearing and bring this back for your review.
Gotcha. Okay, the only question I had is, obviously the parking is enhanced. Are they living under requirements for green space? We want to have room for these seniors to run around in. We're not cutting that down to unreasonable levels, are we?
George is thinking ahead.
There's the modification of the existing parking and the installation of the new dining hall is taking away some existing landscaping. We have not done an analysis of the square footage of landscaping that would be lost. My preliminary assessment of the entire facility is that it has green space throughout. I don't know that you would rely on this location to satisfy the green space requirements. The project, the dining hall expansion includes a patio amenity attached to it. So there will be another outdoor experience that's attached to the dining hall.
But they don't live under requirements, for example, that multifamily units do as far as green space and some of those kind of things, or not, at least not the same.
You may be referring to our 10% open space requirement in the multifamily districts.
Right.
And we would apply that to a new project. We could apply that to this existing project. I don't have the original approval, the date for conditional use permit number 110, but I believe it was quite a long time ago. I don't have an analysis of the green space on the site.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see it as a big problem. Commissioners, what do you think as far as this minor revision, and therefore we can do without a public hearing?
It's minor.
That a consensus on that?
My only question would be item 5 of the planning, payment of fees to Kings Canyon Unified School District, facilities fees.
That's a standard condition we put in all new development approvals.
Is it based on square footage?
There may or may not be a fee that's associated with this type of development with Kings Canyon Unified School District. We put it on the developer, the applicant, to contact Kings Canyon Unified, understand whether or not there's a fee that applies, and if so, they need to pay that fee and show proof of payment to the City of Reedley.
Gotcha.
Oftentimes with senior citizen complexes like, what's the one, Cypress Estates, has been exempt previously because it's quote-unquote senior citizen.
Not too many children running around. Huh?
Right.
Okay. So consensus then that this is a minor revision that we can speak to as opposed to opening it for a public hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, having determined that, are we ready for action on this or do we want to discuss further? Okay, I'll entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to accept resolution 2009-3.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any further comment? Call for the vote, please.
Commissioner Barker?
We kept our pictures.
Commissioner Cisneros?
Yes.
Commissioner Clements?
Yes.
Chairman Nord?
Yes. Okay. Build that nice cafeteria.
We may need these.
And keep that pool open, too. My wife's enjoying the exercise class. Gotta tell you.
The fact that it's growing, too. You know, I noticed that 1155 Springfield used to be like one wing when I started delivering the mail there. And I was like a little city, which is it's good for them, you know.
How many residents do you have in that complex?
We have about 180 lives. So 59 are skilled nursing and 63 are apartments, independent So there may be spouses there. And then we have about 45 assisted living.
Yeah. Are you at capacity all the time?
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
We have a waiting list, especially for the independent side. We have quite a waiting list. And we may come back at some point in the future looking for some additional apartments.
High rise, huh? There we go.
Wait a minute. You're going to need an elevator then.
Al's just about ready to retire, so.
Well, I think George wants to put an application.
At least for the pool.
That's why I see it growing.
No, I kind of promised myself to move directly from where I'm at to the cemetery. No.
That's pretty close.
I'm pretty close already, so.
But if they went high rise, they could be the second elevator in town. You know, the first one being Palm Village.
Yeah.
Well, then the third floor of our, proposed thing will have the, a little penthouse. You can see.
There you go. I like that idea. I always laugh though, because Palm Village, when they put theirs in, did not make the elevator large enough for a gurney. Because my good buddy Dr. Schlichting had a heart attack or something, and he was a tall man. Yeah. Put him on there. I heard they had to prop him up at 45. So anyway, keep that thing big. Okay, the only thing left is number 7 on my agenda. Any reports from commissioners, questions of commissioners? You know, I had one question. Maybe we got, I don't know if this is our engineer or junior engineer or whatever back here. Someone asked me about water towers. We're going to build a couple new water towers, right? Out by the sports park.
It's the one of them that's in the design stage now, the one at the sports park.
The question came to me. Obviously, it's got to be much more expensive to build a water tower that is 150 or 200 feet high, whatever they are, versus a tank on the ground. Tell me about the advantages of that. Is the cost justified?
Well, it's the elevated tower that's going to go ahead and provide the pressure that's required by the city to maintain fire protection. That's one of the advantages of it.
So in the case of a power outage... You do actually do. You don't have booster pumps?
We do not have booster pumps. Now, on our original towers, water towers, are two downtown water towers, no. They're all gravity fed.
Just a gravity fed?
Just gravity fed lines.
Okay. Because I actually had it came to me not from an engineer, but from an engineer to someone else to me, said, hey, I think they have to have booster pumps anyway. So are we doing it for the aesthetic beauty of a high building? I can't imagine that.
And as the city's grown, your pressures continue to drop.
Now, Selma has no water towers.
Pardon?
Selma has no water towers. How do they maintain that pressure?
I don't know how. Or if they have water towers or not.
They've got some kind of booster pump somewhere.
There's a water tower.
Probably backup generators or something. Mm. Yeah, anyway, like I say, it came from an engineer-type person who... seemed to think it was a frivolous move. And I said, well, I sure hope not. I live in Reedley.
One of the other benefits I've heard, in addition to the fire flow pressure and the concept behind multiple towers, they all need to be at the same elevation to maintain the uniform pressure throughout. One of the other benefits was, and that may be achievable on ground level storage, was pumping during non-peak hours for power cost. And then having pressure during peak hours that's generated by the raised tower.
So it does make some sense, yeah.
On ground level storage.
Okay. I promised him I would ask that question.
Sell capacity that can be sold for revenue.
Advertising?
Anything
space, is that what you're saying? Hey, now, we got Safeco Field and those kind of things, so maybe we could have, who knows. Hey, you know what my son-in-law got? He had a birthday and he works in technology. He's got this T-shirt that says Wi-Fi on it, and the shirt actually senses when you're in a Wi-Fi area.
And it lights
up. It lights up. And it shows you the level. You know, it's got different bars on it, so if you're in a light area, one bar goes up, the second one...
Probably just radioactivity.
When are we going to become a Wi-Fi hotspot?
We have Starbucks.
I think I saw that Kingsburg was talking about it, doing at least their downtown area. I don't know about the cost of that or whatever, but I think we need to move that direction probably sometime. Cheryl, why are you leaving? I mean, for goodness sakes, we get in there.
I'm sorry.
You get a call, go.
But that's true, like Chief writes.
What's that?
Are you referring to a public Wi-Fi system?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we do have a Wi-Fi system now, Odyssey, that's run by a private individual.
Here in town?
Here in town. And one of his antennas is actually located on one of our water towers.
How far an area does it cover?
What I'm told, it'll cover a 10-mile square area.
Really?
Assuming you have a line of sight, that's one of the important things. He was also looking, I believe he was looking at expanding maybe for part of the year, you know, where he can run the next community.
So you can contract with him to wonder what it costs?
I don't know what his costs are. I know we did explore it at one point using their system to provide some of our other satellites, but I think we went with Comcast because of the price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we got the chief here. Let's ask him if there's anything special he wants to report to us on. How long have you been in your position now, Steve?
I've been the permanent chief since December 31st.
December 31st, so you're almost 3 months into it. Before that, you were...
I was the interim from September 1st. I was the interim chief.
Yeah, so how's it going? Okay, I mean, you getting any sleep these nights? Your hair is turning a little more gray, I noticed, but...
I get less sleep all the time.
That goes with the job.
Yeah, you know, I got to admit, I partly asked you the question because obviously we're having a lot more gang activity in this town than 1 year ago, 5 years ago, whatever. And...
Is that because of the pressure being put on the gangs in Fresno and they're moving out of Fresno, or?
Some of that is. We're seeing an increase actually in our Bulldog gang members here in town. Well, some of that is. Some of it is because of the disorganization in one of the largest gangs we have. Any time you put pressure on them, the problem gets worse before it gets better. So. You know, we're seeing that we picked off a lot of the ones who are the organizers of the gang. They're all in prison or going to prison for a very long time. And so now the worker bees, for example, are kind of running amok because they have no direction, they have no organization. So they're out there doing their own thing, and that's where we're seeing an increase. So what we've got to do is... One of the things we are doing is kind of putting a full-court press on them to try to pick off the little guys that are out there running amok because, you know, they're not smart enough not to get caught. So that always, you know, just takes time. So, you know, we're hoping in the next month with what we're putting in place that we're going to...
You know, the statistic that I read recently that obviously floors me is that one out of every 31 Americans is in prison or on some kind of supervised role, probation, whatever. One out of 31. And our state is probably leading that way, I'm sure.
Our state is more than any other state.
I see we're building more prisons than schools. It seems like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to find some alternatives to what we're doing because we can't afford it, for one thing, and also
it's not working.
Exactly.
Well, I see some guys going back because that's a better life than out here, and they can't find a job. They can't, you know, they don't have no means of support or housing or nothing, so they get in trouble and go back in prison. They got it made.
They don't have the skills.
Yeah.
What does it cost to keep a prisoner incarcerated per year?
It's about...
Oh, that's what I read or something like.
It's about $35,000 a year to maintain a prisoner in state prison. It's about $70,000 if they're on death row.
Okay.
And it's about between $15,000 and $20,000 to keep them in county. for county facilities, depending on which county they're in. The recidivism rate in Fresno County is 80%. That go into jail as first-time offenders, 80% of second and third-time offenders. So high, and it's because they have no skill set.
They have no skills, and they don't have much. I hang around some of these guys. I was talking to two guys who just got out of jail. I work out in Traver quite a bit. And they don't have any higher concentration than we do here, but I know them all there. And I said, okay, guys, we need to find you something legal and fun to do. And they kind of laughed, of course. And I said, what's your opportunities for jobs? And they said, how do you hold a job? One guy says, well, I got to get tested for drugs on Monday. I got to check in here on Tuesday. I got to check in here on Wednesday. 3 to 4 days out of every week, they had some spot they had to go to Visalia to check in with a probation officer in the middle of the day. And I said, well, how are you supposed to hold the job? Well, if we go get a job, we just have to ask for the hour or whatever. And, of course, in many cases, they don't have driver's license, so they got to get somebody else to get them to the...
Well, yeah,
to the source.
They haven't been driving while they were in there. They didn't renew their license.
So they either lost their license or whatever. So it's they put them in an impossible position. So I'm going to say I'm counting down the days. I'm surprised. I don't even know if they're still out. I talked to them 3 months ago probably, and they're probably locked up again.
Were they students in yours at one point?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't they have a program to train them, like when they get out of prison to...
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation.
It's kind of a hit and miss proposition. And I know it's tough, but by the time they get into the prison setting, when they're, you know, an adult, 18, 19, 5 years old, you know, the rehabilitation factor is really, really tough. And there's really nothing at the prison level, you know, that teaches them what they need to know and how to deal with society when they get out. You know, they keep them at 6x9, 20 hours a day. And, you know, I mean, what would that do, I mean, to you?
It would make you crazy.
There's two people to a room, and you have no social skills. You have nothing. So, you know, they put somebody in that setting for 5, 10, 15 years, expect to give them a 2-week course on how to deal with society to get out.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, of course, some of the pressure from... people who are saying, hey, we got to reform are, at least that I think, is let's legalize marijuana, let's do some of these things so we get the nonviolent crime. So we're not sticking the guy that's using a little weed and gets arrested, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 times, whatever, gets arrested. So they're trying to say, okay, we got to develop a different way to handle this kind of person as opposed to the violent criminal. And whether that makes any sense or not, I don't know. But we've got to find some way to do something different here. We're drowning in.
Well, now we have to come up with, what, $8.5 billion for medical facility?
Yeah.
Here in the state under a federal order, not a state order.
Oh, to care for the aging prisoner population.
Yeah, that's right. They're getting old now.
The boomers.
Yeah. <That's> career point. But you know what? There's a lot of prisoners that are, they have real good skills and stuff, and they're... I mean, they do it in prison, you know, or the higher prisons and stuff where they produce a lot of things that, but they can't come out here and do that, you know.
Well, not if they have to go to all those things that you tell, say they've got all those appointments.
The
prison industry has put all the private businesses out of business.
Yeah.
Because they can do it a lot cheaper than, you know, 62 cents an hour or something like that. And so they put the private business out of business.
They wouldn't come out and work for that out here, though.
Wish I could come up with a plan for doing it differently.
Yeah.
Doing it's not. David, anything new out on the horizon we need to know about?
Nothing new. I think you're aware of all the big projects that are going to be coming our way during the summer. So
I've been kind of out of the loop.
We will have the housing element update that's going to be coming back to you sometime. General plan update going to be coming back to you towards sometime in the summer. We have Blossom Trail development that's going to be coming to you sometime in the summer, and that's a 40-acre commercial and residential subdivision at the southwest corner of Zumwalt and Manning.
What's there?
Blossom Trail Development. It's a 40-acre okay. subdivision. That's adjacent to the Silas Barch School. And
about our circle, our traffic circle.
Traffic circles, I believe. Capital Improvement Projects is looking at the Buttonwillow and Dinuba traffic circle. Is that in construction drawing phase or planning?
Final design, getting ready to go out to bid here within a couple of months.
Ready for the stimulus money.
Yeah. Okay. Before they take it away, before the state takes it away, they're short already.
Went through a few of those circles and when I was away a few days ago. My wife always laughs. She says, I don't think it's going to work in Reedley. It's going to work. I said, it's really going to be good.
Yeah. Except the first semi that goes straight.
In the middle of the night. Poor guy.
2 blocks from there, so I'm expecting sirens.
You can sell your property to a lawyer. He can sit there and watch it. You're glad the mics are off now. Right, Francis? Okay, anything else for the good of the cause? David, you were going to check on that fence behind that parking lot for me? That sales lot over on 11th?
Conditions of approval call for replacement of that fence. So we will talk to code enforcement and have them inform them that it needs to be revisited. If they desire some relief, they may ask that be brought back before you and see what they could do to comply. We'll be very specific about the conditions of approval are specific about what needs to be there. If it's something that they think is unnecessary or they cannot handle, they may request a revision that would come back before you.
And that's fine. I just think the folks next door deserve a little better, and they've got that tow truck sitting over there on tow truck down from you, John?
Yeah.
Still sitting there. That house is now vacant, and the tow truck continues to sit there.
Well, you're talking about the other tow truck, the yellow tow truck.
Yeah, the yellow one.
Closer to your kids, yeah. Not the big semi.
No, not the big one, the little one.
That house is vacant?
That house is vacant. Foreclosure.
There was a car in the driveway that's been sitting there, like, abandoned.
I don't know what
third block of Carpenter, eastbound...
200 or 300 blocks?
From Reed.
Oh, yeah, give us a number, Al.
I'm sorry, I'm in the 600, so it's coming this way.
Yeah, it's 400.
Second from the corner. It's where Greg
Klingenberg
used to live.
Yeah, 400.
Was he involved in that towing business?
No. He was the CHP that was resident post officer.
That's right.
It was his house before it sold to these folks.
Oh, that's 468.
I didn't realize that's sitting abandoned.
I believe it is. I mean, they may not be totally out, but at least I was told that they were out, and that truck continues to sit
there. Like 468 Carpenter, I think.
It's Valdez Towing, I think, out of Orange Cove, and it's a yellow, like a AAA tow truck.
Okay, that's
folks,
it for now.
Asked me on the water meters,
what's cooking?
Cooking on that. If I know
that start
neighbors, I noticed on my property, I'm getting some kind of bugs coming out of my sink. Mm. Yeah, look, flies, you know. And I have a disposal, and I run it and keep it clean. And now I would like, you know, they suggest for you to throw all your food and stuff in the trash instead of disposal. So
you
I don't know.
Coming out of the drain.
Yeah, out of the
coming
drain.
Coming out of the fresh water.
Out of the drain, coming up. And I put...
Run ice through it once a week.
Chlorine ice? Well, I'll try that, but that's where I go, you know, and I...
Go by someone that'll keep your blades nice and sharp in there, but it should take care of the flies because they're breeding in there if you're not using it.
I run hot water and I run it, you know, and I don't know what...
When do the water meters come on?
Get some little bits of comet going down through there, ice and rock and stuff, and you shouldn't take care of it.
I'm not aware when we're going to go to meter rates. My understanding is that they're still analyzing consumption.
We're still doing the water rate study. We're still metering the water to set a baseline.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yep. Okay. Maybe adjourn.